Stick Williams has done nearly enough, so we're going to hear from him and his Carolina story. Thank you, Stick.
I know many of you are sick of hearing from me this morning as I am of hearing from you this morning, but delighted to do here. I'm pinch hitting again. Unfortunately, Veronica could not be here to share her Carolina story, and I was so looking forward to that. But I've jotted down a couple things. I hope I'm not going to have to give you a narrative, because I don't have a narrative. I've just got some bullet points that I want to speak to. Four things to point out. I was far better prepared entering Carolina than I ever would have imagined. I was far better prepared leaving Carolina than I ever imagined. I met, like Coach Davis indicated this morning, I met God, I met the Lord while I was here, and I met my wife here at Carolina. I grew up in Greensboro. I attended all black schools through high school, graduated from Dudley High School in Greensboro. And then all of a sudden, I'm on this campus. I've never been around so many white people in my life. You know, it was very interesting. Fortunately, I had decided that, you know, I would play football. And I was never really focused on coming to Carolina. I was a Carolina fan because of Charlie Scott, but I was not focused on coming here. I always assumed that I would go to an HBCU to play football. But Philip, I don't know whether this is the case. I generally use it as part of my story to say that my senior year was one of the first years that Carolina really offered the opportunity for black schools to nominate folks for the Moorhead. So that's what caused me to apply to Chapel Hill. I would not have applied otherwise. But you have to apply in order to be a nominee. For some reason, they nominated me from my high school. I was accepted. And by the grace of God, I came to the campus and I played football my freshman year. You see me limping. I tore up a knee my freshman year. That changed everything. I didn't realize what an extraordinary university I was at attending until I stopped playing football and had to become a student. And I say become a student jokingly, but that was one of the first big changes in my life. But it was a culture shock. Fortunately, football helped, but it was a culture shock being in some of those huge freshman classes, you know, like economics. I'm one of the few blacks in there, and I gotta be honest with you, I wondered if I belonged. I put Stick Williams in the back of the classroom. Nobody else put me there. I put myself there. I didn't want to be seen by a professor. I didn't want to be engaged with a professor. I didn't even want the other students to really know that I was there. I thought everybody else was a genius, and that I don't know why I was there. One day I came to myself. I said, if this was the football field, whatever it took to start is what you would do. That was another transformation to me. From that point on, I was on the front row of every class I participated in at Chapel Hill. I didn't see the geniuses after that. It was one-on-one, me and the instructor. And that was another big transformation. The rest of my academic career here was very good as a result. But there was so much that I didn't experience while I was here. I didn't know you could have a relationship with professors. You know, that was not part of discussion, you know, in high school and in family growing up. I hear such great stories from others. After I came back, I heard such great stories about the time that they spent here and the professors that they engaged with, the fraternities and so forth. I didn't experience any of that. Drinking from the old well the first day of class. I never heard about that until, you know, I was, until we came back to Chapel Hill in 1990. So there were so many experiences that I didn't get. But what I learned after leaving here was that I had really gotten a great education and that I was prepared. I told you that I met God while I was here. That was during my junior year. I received them in my life. I became a member of the Black Christian Fellowship. This is very interesting to me. So I began to read the Bible. And there's some amazing accounts in the Bible of what God did intervening for folks. And I started asking myself, is this true? Is this really real? Did God really do these things? Can God really do these things? Well, I wasn't intentionally challenging him, but it was kind of like God took it as a challenge. You want to challenge me? You want to test me? Let's let the CPA exam be the test. I didn't have any interest in taking the CPA. I had no intent in taking the CPA exam. I was a C accounting student. It was crazy that I was majoring in accounting. I had never heard of it before I decided I was going to major in it. I just knew that there was this small group of people majoring in something called accounting, larger group of people majoring in business. I said, these folks are going to get jobs. Well, after the first class, I knew why there were so few people majoring in accounting. I was just too stubborn to quit. And so I stayed with it. I had convinced myself, I had rationalized it. I can get a job with a company working in their accounting department, that'll be good. Well, all of a sudden, God has made the CPA exam a challenge. So accounting back then was 4.5 years. I had to work during the summer, so I had to do 4.5 years. That last semester I spent teaching myself the accounting that I didn't learn before. Now I want you to understand that. A C accounting student teaching himself accounting, that makes no sense whatsoever, You didn't learn it the first time. How are you going to teach yourself? But preparing for that CPA exam, and I passed it the first time. And I don't know the stats now, but back then, maybe 10% of the people that took the exam passed it the first time. I passed it the first time. There was no doubt in my mind that all of what I had read about him was true. Because now he had done it in my life. I had done something that I never, ever could have imagined. But that set up some pressures. As a result of that, I got to work for one of the biggest CPA firms in the nation, Arthur Anderson. It was the biggest of the Big Eight back then. Just an extraordinary experience. When people asked me where I went to school and I said Carolina, they had expectations. I didn't appreciate the value of the Carolina education until I saw how other people responded to my saying, I'm a Carolina graduate. Now they had higher expectations than I had of myself. I had to deliver, I had to step up, and I had to be what they expected. And just another great transformation, a great part of my life. After several years with Arthur Anderson, I went to work for Duke Energy. At Duke Energy, I was always the first, the first in corporate finance, the first to be the face of the company in corporate communications, the first as a branch manager in Shelby, which was interesting because back then, you become a branch manager at a location that size, Country Club came into play. And so I had to apply to Cleveland Country Club. That was new to them. It was definitely new to us. And again, these doors continued to open. And after a couple of years in Shelby, the company transferred us to Chapel Hill. So now I'm coming back to Chapel Hill, very different capacity. I got to know the town and the campus like I had never known it before. But even before that, some very interesting things. My early years in corporate finance, I wondered if I was smart, because every time we had roundtable discussions, I never came up with the same solutions that other folks around the table came up with. And I didn't understand that. Am I just not smart? Do I not understand this stuff? But one day I had the guts to put my stupid idea out on the table. It changed the conversation. It completely changed the conversation, and we created a far better product than we would have before. That said to me, you're not dumb, you're different. Everything about you is different from the people that you work with and the people that you're around. you got to bring your difference every time you do anything from this point on. And I'd have to say that I still have all of my hair if I hadn't taken that advice at Duke Energy, because the culture at Duke Energy was sameness. You know, 80% of the folks there were engineers, and they thought and they processed the same. And we had a CEO, Bill Lee, that said that, you know, there's a small group of people that have different Myers-Briggs personality traits. We ought to start listening to them. So I thought they ought to start listening to me. I would have all of my hair if I hadn't thought that, and if I hadn't challenged some things. But recognizing the importance of being different, from that point on, I became willing to be stick wheels. I mean, I already had the name, but I was willing to be the person, Stick Williams, in every situation that I found myself in. And that was another one of those transformations. My goal at Duke Energy was, even though I was the first, every time I would leave an organization, I wanted them to say, why did it take us so long to have somebody like him? We need more people like him in this role. So not just be content to be the first, but to make it such that they know they need differences, that they need the different. So we came to Chapel Hill, and so I had been a leader for Duke Energy in Charlotte, and then in Shelby, and I come here, and Chapel Hill is different. My goodness, it's changed now, but back then they did not like business people, you know. And the town government in particular did not like business people. Now here I am, I represent one of the largest private companies in the county. And I had no fear. I didn't fear them like other business people did. So I talked all manner of trash and so forth. And the chancellor was Paul Hardin at the time, and he took note of that. Who is this crazy guy? And how can he talk to the town council people this way? And so one day he came up to me and he said, have you ever thought about being on the board of trustees? And I know I gave him a crazy look. I said, I am not a CEO. I am not rich. I'm not Lowry. Well, you know, why would you ask me about it? I like giving Lowry a hard time. So my everything changed. The university had given so much to me. Now, here was the opportunity for me to give to the university. So first I was invited to be on the Board of Visitors and chair the Board of Visitors. I was doing a weak moment for Doug, and I know Ann Cates pushed him into this. I was invited to be a member of the Board of the Alumni Association Board, and I chaired the Alumni Association Board. I did get elected to the Board of Trustees, and I chaired the Board of Trustees. And all of these were just absolutely amazing experiences. And to bring Stick Williams and his crazy ideas to those roles were just meant a tremendous amount to me. I've got a chance to do a lot of similar things, but what a foundation was established for me while I was here. My experiences here were far different from so much of what I heard. But my goodness, the education that I got here just paid extraordinary dividends for me. My wife, I met while I was here, and she too has just done some amazing things. Her experience is different from my experience. See, Teresa didn't come from all black schools. Teresa had to integrate junior high schools and high schools, and her experience is far different. I wish you could hear some of the things that she confronted growing up, but together we pushed one another and encouraged one another and supported one another. One day I came home and she asked me, do you know that I pray for you every day that you go to work? And then it started making sense. Why are all of these opportunities coming? Well, your wife is home praying for you and really supporting you. So what a nice couple that we've been. Those of you that are new might not know that my wife and I are the only couple to ever have chaired the Alumni Association Board. Just something that we're very proud of. But that's my Carolina story.